This episode contains graphic descriptions of crime scenes which may be disturbing to some listeners.
Today we continue the story of a 45-year-old Oregon woman who vanished on a fall day in 1999. Her devoted daughter and a determined cop are still trying to answer the question, where is Leona Kinsey?
This is APB Cold Case. Here's your host, former police chief Mark Spahn.
We pick up the story where we discussed a couple of Leona Kinsey's previous boyfriends. Police appear to have eliminated both of them from suspicion in her disappearance. But there was another guy who had been involved in what police said was an on-again, off-again relationship with Leona, and he's become a focal point for detectives. Juan Pena Lamas.
She owed him money. So in the early 2000s, we interviewed him. And of course, he denied having any responsibility in her disappearance. He also lied to us because he denied having any involvement in drug activity whatsoever when we had enough people say that he was involved in the illicit drug trade, mostly methamphetamine. We were told that he had connections to a nearby county, which is the hub where our drugs come from. So this was all adding up.
Leona's daughter was not familiar with John or Juan Pena Lamas, but since her mom's disappearance, she's learned more about him and about the rumors involving her mom that might have been a motive for someone like Juan to silence her.
I'd never met Juan. I'd never heard of him. When I first heard that she went to meet him, Nancy said that she went to meet a man named John, that my mom called him Mexican John. I can't remember where I heard that Juan was involved in drugs, but Nancy said there were rumors around town that my mom was a snitch and that she would go to people's houses and shortly after they would be busted, and that she was worried because she went to meet John and she never showed up. And so I kind of just put two and two together that he was a dealer. And then I think I found out for sure, you know, a couple of years down the road that he was. I didn't know that he was involved with cartel or anything like that until later.
Lieutenant Hayes said that in the past couple of years, he's gone back into the file and started looking at the connection between Juan and Leona.
Just in the last 2 years, I have completed over 24 police reports on this, where I've done interviews, more interviews. And the consensus of information is that Leona owed the Mexican cartel money for drugs, and they are responsible for her disappearance. I don't have tunnel vision on that, but if you hear enough things from a bunch of different places all saying the same thing, I think that's deserving of my attention.
Police wanted to learn more about the last contact between Juan Pena Lamas and Leona.
So we asked him to do a polygraph. He agreed to do the polygraph, but he failed to show up for the appointment. Shortly after that, he was arrested on crimes not associated with this and was put in prison.
Any hopes of interviewing Juan Pena Lamas in jail were dashed in 2006. He'd been deported to Mexico. But Hayes is still working on the case, trying to get an answer, and he still wants to talk with Pena Lamas.
Juan is still a person of interest with me. Doesn't mean he's a suspect, but he's definitely a person of interest. I think he had something to do, whether or not he was the actual person that is responsible for her disappearance. I think he has some knowledge into the information that we need to know. So the FBI helped me with a proof of life. As of last year, we know he was still alive and he lived in Manzanillo, Mexico. I think it's in central Mexico. I'm still trying to work with the FBI on how can I get another interview with him.
Police say they don't see any indications of a Mexican drug cartel presence in La Grande, Oregon itself, but they are aware of cartel activity nearby.
Okay, what I can tell you is we don't necessarily have the cartel here. The hubs where we get our drugs is from a county 45 miles away, and then another county a little bit beyond that. Those are the hubs. That's where the Mexican cartel is. For La Grande, what happens is your drug dealers, they usually only deal to a smaller groups. It's smarter that way, a little bit more secure from a drug dealer's perspective. So a lot of our drug dealers would be dealers just enough to support their own habits. And what they would do is they would collect money from their clients, if you will, and then they drive 45 miles. That's where they meet the Mexican cartel drug dealers and get their drugs, and then they bring it back.
So, just how connected is Juan Pena Llamas to the cartel, and how high up the chain did he go?
So I don't know who his associates were. Nobody seems to know who his connection was, where he got his drugs from. He would brag about it being in the cartel and he was a cartel member. Again, they didn't believe him because he was just a braggart and wanted to make himself seem more important than what he was to them. He's a very small man, small stature. None of them believed him. He was what we call the little dog syndrome. He wanted to make himself be more important, hoping that people will respect him more. But the people that I talked to that did know him thought he was an idiot.
And he may also have been violent.
Going back through the interviews and re-interviewing four different people, he told he wasn't responsible for Leona's disappearance, but he had information that he had some kind of pull on making this happen to her. So what are we talking about? When I look at this whole case, I think the most reasonable explanation is she was abducted. She knew who abducted her because they planned to meet at this parking lot of this grocery store, and she was murdered. I think that's the most reasonable explanation. Again, it's what I call my Juanology. You know, what does everything say about Juan? And we've had some information. You know, I've interviewed ex-girlfriends that live 300 miles away from here in a life that he lived prior to living in our community. You know, when you look at his relationships with women, he was abusive. And if he's abusive to his past girlfriends, then I have every reason to believe that when he was involved in an intimate relationship with Leona, he was also abusive.
Was that relationship, whatever it was, so toxic that Juan could have done something to Leona?
He's an interesting person. When I did some Juanology on him, who is Juan Pena Llamas, and in speaking with him, there he definitely has a history that is a recipe for being, you know, involved in homicide. My theory is, yes, I think it's plausible that he was the one that called her. She knows him, she's comfortable with him. They do their drug deals at this particular parking lot. And based on the couple of years that I was in the drug task force, listening to body wires and doing drug crimes daily and investigating these, is that he said, okay, we're going to go meet somebody. And I think somebody probably helped in this. The most consistent information is that would be the Mexican cartel. He was the conduit to the cartel. They're the ones responsible. He has information about it. And maybe he's fearful. If he didn't do it, but he knows who did, and it is the cartel, that's another barrier. If people know that, if they talk about their involvement in something and it's connected to the cartel, that's very dangerous for them.
Lieutenant Hayes recalled a case where Juan was reportedly involved in burglaries, and it was Hayes himself who found him.
And I ended up finding Juan hiding in a shed, and he was armed with a gun. Plus, there was a lot of reports of physical violence, domestic violence, where he was a physical abuser, drug use. Those things start to make him, based on my training experience, capable of doing something like making Leona disappear.
As the investigation continued, Leona's daughter, Carolyn, did what she could to cope. She told me about a writing project she did for school around 2006. Her assignment? A dozen pages of nonfiction. So she wrote about her mom's disappearance. Carolyn's aunt sent the story to the newspaper, and it was published, catching the attention of a woman who relayed a disturbing story to her, a story about Juan Pena Llamas.
About a week after that, a lady called me. She was an elderly woman whose husband had died, and she hired a man to work the property, to work their ranch. and she hired this man named John. And he was charming and well-spoken and clean-cut and had a lot of ranch experience and became really close to the family. He ended up raping and beating her granddaughter to the point her granddaughter had gotten pregnant through this interaction and lost the baby. She told him he was going to have to go. This is the end of our employment.
But she said John refused to leave, and he began threatening her. And it was the words of his threat that caused the woman to connect the dots between the man she read about in Carolyn's story and her own experience. It was the same man, Juan Pena Lamas.
She was afraid that something was going to happen, and he kept telling her, "I'll do you like I did Leona." He drove her past my mom's house, and he said, "That's where Leona lived. They never found her." And he took her up into the mountains one day, and he pulled over and was looking at something and was trying to get her to get out of the car, and she wouldn't get out. And she said she just had a bad feeling. And he said, "You know, you could get rid of a body down there. They'd probably never find it. They never found Leona." And she said she never knew anything about Leona. She'd never heard of my mom's case. But when she read my story, she knew. I mean, it's a small town. There weren't a lot of Leonas.
So when we look at Juan Pena Lamas, we have what appears to be a pattern of violence and a possible connection to a Mexican drug cartel. So let's go back to the discussion about Leona possibly being an informant for the police.
And what I know from officers that would deal with her, she was quite prickly. She was not one to cooperate with the police. And, you know, that was kind of the snitches get stitches, you know, mantra back then. And no indications that she ever cooperated with the police in any kind of drug investigation, at least not in our county.
Like, my thinking, and law enforcement has said that she wasn't working for them. When I've looked through the courts, there are court cases that were like just dropped. Like, there was one where she had a couple of arrests. I think she had possession of marijuana. But there was another man who contacted law enforcement about 3 or 4 months after she disappeared and said that John was at his house and said that he got rid of her and that he had to because she was going to rat on him and that he wasn't stupid enough to do it by himself.
Whether or not Leona was an informant, all that matters is if John or Juan thought she was. So Juan may have believed that Leona was a liability.
He told people multiple times. He told a couple people, "You'll never find her." So wherever he put her, he's pretty proud of it.
One of the sources of information here is the former wife of Juan Pena Lamas. She was significantly older than Juan, something that Carolyn told me about his befriending and using older women. She last knew the ex-wife to have been in the Lewiston, Pocatello, Idaho area, but she's since passed away.
And his wife got the feeling that, like, he just disposed of her. Like, there wasn't a lot of effort put into covering her up or anything.
Is it possible that Leona was buried or dumped in the woods? Police have received tips, and they've seen remarks in social media postings from people speculating on what happened or where her body could be.
We have had a lot of, like, these little tips, and I have followed up on every single one of those. I've searched up. Now, these are tips that don't have... They're just people who have thoughts. Well, maybe if I wanted to make somebody disappear, I'd make them disappear over here. Or I know Leona liked to pick huckleberries over here, or she liked to pick mushrooms over here. We would go to those areas and do the best we could with the information that we had. So, and that's where, like, the Forest Service and State Forestry and Search and Rescue have been a big help, is helping us search those areas.
So she spent a lot of time in the mountains. She loved hunting and mushroom picking and fishing. And, you know, if there was a season to be harvesting or gathering, she was doing it.
One of the tips police received was from a person who said they were a web dowser, something we'd never heard of.
The best I can explain a web dowser, because I had to ask, was, you know how people find water by doing water witching, I think it's called, with the sticks. Well, they do this over a map, and it's supposed to indicate on a map where lost items or people are. This lady sent me a letter and said, stop looking. And she gave me the exact coordinates. So I went and looked, and it was a impractical area, but I searched nonetheless. So every one of those pieces of information we look into, you know, for me, it's like, maybe she's using that as a cover. She actually knows that the body's there and now she's somehow connected, but trying to throw me off the trail by saying she's a web dowser. So in 25 years, I am no closer to finding Leona. And that's a struggle for me. I think that there's somebody out there, so does her daughter, that has answers, and we're hoping that they'll come forward.
And someone did come forward.
Juan's ex-wife said that he knew who killed her, and he gave her a somewhat exact location. We knew the area. We knew the area that she told us based on his descriptions. We used cadaver dogs, search and rescue team. We went back and even searched ponds in that, and didn't come up with anything. That was about the most direct one, where he actually said, I know where she's at. I didn't do it, but I had somebody do it for me, and it's in this area.
Did Juan's ex-wife share any other details with her own daughter? Could she now hold the key to some answers in this decades-old mystery?
And I imagine she told her daughter, and maybe her daughter remembers more, or maybe her daughter's able to interpret from Spanish to English better than her mom was. Maybe as time went on, her mom told her something that she didn't tell the police.
Lieutenant Hayes has interviewed and re-interviewed several people in recent years. As he mentioned, some witnesses were reluctant to talk in the early days of the investigation, fearing they might be implicated in drug activity.
With the passage of time, I am finding that they are pretty cooperative on talking about their own activities, which validates now that Leona was heavily involved in the use and sale of methamphetamine at the time. And I feel like these interviews that I've had over the last couple of years with those closest to Leona have been honest and trustworthy. Some of those people are now deceased, but a lot of the close associates to her that were in the drug scene with her, most of them, I'm proud to say, are recovered now. You know, they got past that dependency to drugs and are on a good path, which helps.
And Lieutenant Hayes is very interested in having another conversation with Juan Pina Lamas. He's been working with the FBI as a liaison because of the jurisdictional concerns.
There's enough reading between the lines that I know that there's some logistical challenges for the FBI down there. At the end of the day, if that's what I got to do is have a translator and we just call him and get, because I'm armed with more knowledge now than we were when we talked to him in the early 2000s. I think it was 2001 or two.
I asked Carolyn what it would mean to her to finally have answers on what happened to her mom and where her remains might be found.
I can imagine what I think it will mean to me, but I don't, you know, I won't know until I get there. It'll mean that everything that I imagine happened in every way. My mom was such a fighter. I know it wasn't easy. I know she didn't go out without a fight. I have imagined him killing her and enjoying it in thousands of different ways. It would mean that I wouldn't have to imagine all of those anymore.
Carolyn has wondered how she'd feel if the day came when there was a clue, when maybe some of her mom's remains might be found.
If we are able to find her, locate her, I kind of get torn. You know, like I know after this amount of time, if bones are found or remains are found, depending on how they were disposed of or covered or uncovered, I know that it will be a challenge to be able to extract any DNA or enough to identify her. And the odds of them finding all of her, you know, they'll just find parts. So I go back and forth between, do I want to find her? Do I want to find her and just have it in my head that I don't know if this is her or not? And if it is, there's only parts of her and the rest of them are out there somewhere. But it's this time of year when people are hunting and tromping around in the woods. I mean, there people are tromping around all the time because mushroom season. I don't know if other parts of the country that's a big deal, but in my home area, mushroom season is a big deal. So people are always out, picking huckleberries and mushrooming and hunting and getting firewood. And it just, this time of year when they're hunting, I just always hope that they're gonna stumble across something. What are the chances of them stumbling across a leg or a rib and thinking it's an animal after this long? But I always hope that this time of year somebody will see something.
Carolyn knows that her mom had challenges in her life, but she prefers to remember the proud, creative woman who not only raised her, but who also embraced the role of grandmother, the woman who taught her and inspired her.
I don't know. I just knew she expected me to like just buck up, and get through things if they bothered me, not be so sensitive, to be more confident and more sure of myself. My mom was, she was funny, she was witty, she had an offbeat sense of humor. She would send care packages to my kids every month, and they would be things like, I don't know where she got them, but once it was like sombreros and books and cowboy boots and different things for costume and booger candies. And if it was silly, she liked it, and she was just always sending us things. She loved being a grandma.
But Carolyn says that the lessons taught to her by her mother and the experience of the tragedy of her mom's disappearance have made her stronger, something that her mom inspired in her.
If something comes and it's hard and I'm down and I hate it and it sucks and I want to cry about it, I've gone through worse. I've gone through worse. My auntie would say, the wind is going to blow, like you're an old oak tree and the wind is going to blow, but it won't blow you down and your branches are going to break, but it's not going to kill you. Your leaves are going to fall and you're going to be cold and ugly, but they're going to come back and you'll be strong and beautiful and you'll be bigger than you were the year before. And I say that, like nothing can break me.
And if she were here, her mom would be proud. Today, Carolyn works in a domestic violence advocacy program with the Puyallup tribe, where she's the manager of their anti-trafficking program. She's also an advocate for missing and murdered Indigenous women.
When I was working with other families, or not even working with families, but just offering my prayers to other families, just talking to them and saying, I'm sorry you're going through this. I've been there and I know what it's like.
Leona's family and police are hoping that someone out there has a piece of information that can move this investigation forward.
25 years later, and we still don't know anything about the location of Leona. Problems that we have is typically in homicides, which I think this is the most reasonable explanation for her disappearance, is you need two things. You need a body and you need somebody talking about the body. We have neither. And her daughter is very active about advocating for her mom's case nationwide, just hoping that at some point somebody was a cellmate to the suspect and wants to come forward, or maybe enough time's gone by where they don't feel like whatever their involvement was in the illicit drug trade or in their relationship with Leona or whatever it may be would give us some little information that would be helpful. I just want people to know that, because we've had some people that have said, well, I wasn't going to call you and I didn't call you for a couple of years because I didn't think it was important. But then I thought, well, I saw another flyer on her. I thought I better call you. I would just love to encourage, if they don't think the information's important, let me sort that out. If they have any information in regards to Juan Pena or Leona Kinsey's disappearance, please call me. Let me sort it out. Whether it's relevant or not, I don't want to leave any stone unturned.
If you have any information about the disappearance of Leona Kinsey from LeGrand, Oregon in 1999, call LeGrand Police at 541-963-1017. For maps, photos of Leona, Juan Pena Lamas, and more, check out our show notes at apbcoldcase.com. There's also a resource page on our website with contact information for victims of domestic violence and human trafficking.
Thanks for listening to APB Cold Case. Tell us about your cold case at apbcoldcase@spawngroup.com. APB Cold Case is an original Spawn Group production.